Take your Bible, please, and go to Colossians chapter 3. Bringing a message on pursuing the things of God this morning. Colossians chapter 3. Would y'all stand? I want to read a few verses to you. Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now go down to verse 9 and 10. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Our dear Father, quieten our heart. May the Spirit of God take the power of thy word and do a work in our midst, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. May be seated, please. When I was in high school, I had this consuming desire of becoming the fastest runner of the high school, which I told you about a couple of days ago. So what I did with this, I would put boots on up to my knees, and I'd run mile after mile to build up my legs. I'd put my cousin on the bicycle, and I would pedal him on the gravel along the railroad track mile after mile for one reason. I wanted to build up my body. I would lie in bed, and this thing literally consumed me. And my mind was just in this hot pursuit of becoming the fastest runner of the high school. You know, in the spiritual realm, I would that something would so consume you in the area of pursuing the things of God that it would dominate you. If it does, it's going to manifest itself, first of all, by a rejection of this world and what it has to offer. Verse 1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Look here. The way you look as a child of God will determine the way that you live. For example, the person who looks horizontally, he looks at people, he looks at circumstances, he looks at events, that person will live a life of defeat. However, the person who looks vertically, gets his eyes upon the Lord, that person can live a life of victory. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Everything that we can see is temporal. This building is temporal. This pulpit is temporal. Those things I can grasp are temporal. Those things I cannot see, those things I cannot hold, those things are eternal. Here's the problem. So many have a tight grasp on the temporal and a very light hold on the eternal. The Bible tells us in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things be added unto you. Matthew 6:19-21 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you know what a man treasures, you'll know where his heart is. Many years ago, a man asked me this question. He said, Brother Jerry, what is your favorite state to preach in? Well, I'm from West Virginia, and I love the state of West Virginia. I now live in South Carolina, and I love the state of South Carolina. And I've traveled all across America. Without a moment of hesitation, I said, Brother, my favorite state is Philippians 4 and verse 11. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. You know why that's so? Because contentment is not based on what you possess. Contentment is based on who possesses you. If the world possesses you, then you're discontent. However, if God possesses you, then you know what contentment's all about. And one day as a young man, I saw the absolute futility of just living this life. And I began to pursue the things of God. And that got a hold of my heart. The psalmist said in Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, thou art my God. Where do I seek thee? My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Psalm 42, 1, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Psalm 27, 8, when thou saidst, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And so, when a person begins this area of pursuing the things of God, it will manifest itself by a rejection of this world. You hear me? But second of all, it'll manifest itself by a renewing of the mind. Look at verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, the word affection there literally means mind, thinking, or thought process. Therefore, the Bible says, set your mind, set your thinking, set your thought process on things above, not on things on the earth. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. often said this, if I know what a man's thinking about all the time, I can tell you what kind of character that person has. My father used to hire a man who'd come to our home and plow our field with an old mule and a single plow. Two things amazed me. One, how straight that old mule would go across the field. Number two, how deep the furrow was as he pulled that single plow. Scientists tell us if you think on a thought long enough, it will literally engrave a mark right across your brain. Proverbs 23:7 says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Therefore, who controls your mind will control your action. If the world controls your mind, it will control your action. However, if the Lord controls your mind, the Lord will control your action. The Bible says in Isaiah 26, 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. 2 Corinthians 10, 5, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Romans 12, 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Philippians 4 and verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And I'm telling you right now, you will struggle all of your life until you realize this area, there has to be a renewing of the mind if you ever pursue the things of God. But third of all, there has to be a renunciation of the flesh. Look at verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds. Now look here, students. All through your life, you will face a constant battle like Jerry Savinsky or anyone on this platform. And here's the battle that we all encounter. Galatians 5, 17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. In other words, there's always going to be a battle in your life, young man. Look at me. Hey, girl, there's going to be battle in your life. It's between the flesh and the spirits. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 7, 15, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. And Paul goes back and forth. And finally, he said in Romans 7, 24, who wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? In other words, Paul was voicing, the things I know I should do, I don't do. And those things I know I shouldn't do, that's the very thing that I do. And finally, he brings it right to a head, and he says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" You know what? Whatever your struggle is, young lady, hey, fella, whatever your struggle is, that struggle is based between a battle of the flesh and the spirit. But thank God, Paul did not stop with verse 24. And verse 25, he said, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but the flesh, the law of sin." And so thank God, the only way we can ever renounce the flesh is not by willpower, but by the power of the living word. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." John 15:5, "Without me, you can do nothing." 2 Corinthians 3:5, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." And so it's by the power of the living word and the power of the written word. I'm going to tell you what the problem is. You combat the flesh your way when the Bible says you combat the flesh by the power of God's word that He's given you. This is your authority. The Bible tells you in Romans 6:12, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should abate in lust thereof." Romans 6:14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace." Romans 12:21, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "Flee also youthful lust." And so my friend, I'm telling you, on the authority of God's word, there will be the renunciation of the flesh, a renewing of the mind, a rejection of the world, when there's this craving pursuit of the things of the Savior. Let's bow our heads and pray, please. With every head bowed and our eyes are closed, I'm going to have to play a song of "My Jesus, I Love Thee" this morning. That's page 666. Help you girls out. And as you're turning to that song,